One verse of scripture here tonight, and that's John chapter 6 and verse 63. Here's the thought that's on my heart tonight, and that is, we are hopeless without the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say, first, I mean, I think everyone knows this, but we in Pentecost, we use Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost interchangeably. It's that way in the Bible. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, it's you know, one and the same person, just two different words to identify the work of the third person of the Trinity. John chapter 6, and I'm reading verse 63. John 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. And of course, the word just means that gives life. It vitalizes. It is the Spirit that brings life, that quickens. The flesh, it can't accomplish anything. It's powerless to accomplish anything. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. We are hopeless without the Holy Spirit. That's never been more real to me than it is right here today. That our efforts, our work, our ministry, our everything that we attempt to do is powerless unless we are experiencing the power of the Spirit of God that quickens, that brings life. And the New Testament church that you read about there in the book of Acts, that of course we're an extension of that, should be, it is most noted for activity. It's most noted for things happening, action that was taking place. Really, it's the Acts of the Apostles, but in actuality, it is the actions of the Holy Spirit through the apostles and through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there has to be a reminder here tonight of the fact that we are to be completely and entirely dependent upon the Holy Spirit in the church. We must. We're not going to be able to do what we're called to do. We're facing the last days and the challenges that every one of you, I'm facing them, you're facing challenges in your life, and you are going to fail. I can just tell you tonight, you're going to fail unless there is the activity and the moving and the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life. You're not going to be able to accomplish the purpose of God and the will of God in your life. So that's a very serious thing, to think that God has called you, he has given to you a purpose and a plan for your life, but you're going to come short. You're not going to be able to accomplish it unless you are touched by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. We must be. And without it, it's a hopeless situation. Every church, it's hopeless unless there's a work of God, a move of God. Everything that we do, our singing, our worship, our giving, our preaching, our teaching, our ministry, our outreach, it all is dependent upon the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, we know that the Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and his primary function now is intercession. He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession. Now, that reveals the activity of two members of the Trinity. The third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit, and he is the agent that's at work in the world today. Amen. Amen. He is at work in this world by his Holy Spirit. He is working. He is moving in these last days. And so if you want to have an experience with the Lord, if you want to have more knowledge of the Lord, it is going to come by the Holy Spirit. if you want to be more successful and more effective in the work and the calling that you have, that's going to happen by the Holy Spirit. Whatever thing that you attempt to do in the kingdom of God, it will only be successful if you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. The early church, there were no buildings. There were none of the things that we see as so important. Bible colleges wasn't the kind of educational system that we would think it was important. As a matter of fact, not only did they not have all those qualifications, but that for the most part, they were faithless. They didn't have much courage. Like we talked the other night on Wednesday night, some of them were fishermen. They were ignorant. They were unlearned. They didn't have a lot of qualifications as far as the work was concerned. They didn't have a lot of money. Silver and gold have we none. That was the budget for the early church. No money. We have no money. We have nothing that you would think was important for the advancement of the church. So they were just really unqualified misfits that were poor and had nothing to offer except by the Spirit. Amen. And when there is this move of the Spirit, you see it there on the day of Pentecost. Peter, who messed up, who spoke out of turn, who failed several times, but on the day of Pentecost, there's a transformation that has taken place in his life. He stands up that day, and when he preaches, there is something, there is that extra power. There is that extra strength and power and emphasis that came to his words. The Spirit gave him the words. The Spirit gave him the power to convey them. The Spirit of God prepared the hearts of the people to hear, and 3,000 souls were saved. Glory to God. It all happened because there was a work of the Holy Ghost, a moving of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's extremes, and we must never get caught up in extremes. The enemy loves to get the church out on some fringe somewhere where we are not focusing upon the real job of communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's not move to the extreme. One extreme is that some would say, well, they're afraid of fanaticism and emotionalism. They're afraid that things are going to get out of hand. So they just want, just stress the word, just teach the word, just preach the word, and don't give any room for there to be anything other than that. And so that's one extreme. The other extreme is that people, all they want is a manifestation of the Spirit. They have no interest in learning the word and being taught the word or the preaching of the word of God. Both of those extremes are not biblical. Amen. Both of them are unbiblical. So what should be going on in the church? What should be taking place in the church? Not moving to one extreme or the other extreme. Someone has said, if all you're concerned about is just the word, if you have the word without the Spirit, then there's no quickening force to take place. And we know that the word of God is anointed, and the word of God has come to us by the Spirit of God. So people that are saying, oh, I'm kind of afraid of the Holy Spirit, let's just stay with a few little songs and preach the word, because we don't want things to get out of hand. And extremism to get in the church. And so what happens is there's death, lifelessness. There's no, everything is just dry. There's no life there at all. The other extreme is that some just enjoy a big time, and they want to shout and have a big time, and they would rather that happen. And sometimes there's even a moving away from the Word of God because of that, because there's no balance. No place for the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Then you find things going on, manifestations in the church that aren't even biblical. So we need the balance. That the Word of God is taught, and the Word of God is the work of the Spirit of God. Even the Scripture was inspired. Men of old, they wrote and were inspired to write the words of the Scriptures. And they did that as the Holy Ghost inspired them to write. And so you can't say, oh, well, let's stay away from the works and the moving of the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God, we have it in our possession today because holy men of old wrote as they were inspired and anointed of the Holy Spirit. And you're not even going to be able to understand or comprehend spiritual truth unless there is this illuminating work of the Spirit of God that causes the truth to be alive and real to you and personal to you in your situation. And then the Spirit, those that want to be out on the fringe, and we need to understand that everything that goes on, everything in the church, even the works and the movings of the Spirit, all of those are to be tried and tested. Every spirit is to be put to the test. Every manifestation is to be put to the test. And the Bible is the standard. And so there has to be the balance in the church. Amen. Glory to God. The Bereans, the Bible says that they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And Timothy was challenged, study to show yourself approved unto God. So these are just a couple of Bible examples of, no, we don't throw the Bible out and just say, let's just let God work by His Spirit. But we have a unity of the Word and the Spirit. And really, you can't divide them if there's the proper balance in the church. Amen. An absolute dependence upon the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, we know that learning the Word of God, like we mentioned, the Bereans and the challenge to young Timothy to show yourself approved unto God. But the balance of that is in a scripture, Mark chapter 13, verse 11. When they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, does that mean that what you're supposed to do is just, I've known of old-time preachers that they had the idea that you shouldn't study, you shouldn't prepare, you should just open the Bible, and they use this scripture as the example. But there's no balance there, because we know that we're challenged again and again to study the Word of the Lord, to meditate on the law of the Lord. We're challenged again to search the Scriptures. And so we know that's not at all what that scripture is talking about. This is talking about a situation that you're thrown into, that you're unprepared for. That's like a surprise situation. And you're under intense pressure to know what to do. And the answer is that the Holy Ghost will come into that situation when you haven't had time or you have no knowledge of what is going to come your way. And the Spirit of God that dwells in you will give you the words to say. Amen. That's the wonderful balance that there is. So we shouldn't just say, oh, I don't see that. That's important. And I think to study the Word of God or to make preparation, I know some would make the argument, well, if, you know, the service, all of the service just needs to be spontaneous. Don't plan anything and just kind of let it just happen and let it just be a spontaneous thing. On the other hand, some have their services to be so formal and so rigid that if you get out of line on the next succeeding thing that's supposed to happen, everybody gets tore up. You forgot the offering? You forgot the choir? Or you forgot this or that? Because we even though we're Pentecostals, we get into a little pattern, don't we? And so the balance is, sure, we want the moving of the Spirit of God, and things can be planned, and God can even anoint our planning. And He can anoint the direction even before we get into a meeting. The Lord can direct even beforehand. But that doesn't mean that in the middle of the service that God might move by His Spirit and interrupt what's going on. Because He knows all things, and the reason that He does that, at least one of the reasons why, is because we need the reminder of the fact that our plans need to be kind of set aside. We want the inspiration and the anointing, and we want to plan and ask the Lord to direct the plans, but it may be that God by His Spirit will come into a meeting and just kind of interrupt it. Because he knows the people that are there, and he knows the needs that are there, and he will work spontaneously many times so that we'll understand how much we need to depend upon the work of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, we're hopeless without the Holy Spirit. We're hopeless. Everything we attempt to do, we're just going to fall flat on our face. We're not going to succeed. But if we just, as we heard the testimonies of all of these different individuals who at one particular time were filled with the Holy Ghost, if that experience was renewed and alive in us right now, then what we are doing and the work that we're attempting to do, whether it be through bus routes or Sunday school or whatever ministry that it might be, the work of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. So we're hopeless, and we're going to fail without the Spirit of God. We're not even going to be able to see people get saved unless there is a work and a move and a dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Because it's the work of the Spirit of God that even brings conviction to the hearts of people. You can talk to people all day long and all week long and forever till you're blue in the face about their need for the Lord. But if there's not the working of the Spirit of God, if God is not working and convicting them and there's not a moving of the Spirit upon that person, then they might become a part of the church. They might start attending. They may go through some of the motions, but they're not going to get saved. It's only going to be by the Spirit of God. That's how they're going to get saved. John chapter 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, and of judgment." So one of the functions, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is convicting, reproving men of their sin. And the work of the Holy Spirit that makes people aware of the fact that they need Jesus and that they're a sinner and their sin, they're already condemned in their sin. And the Holy Spirit does that, convicts men of their sin. And over the years, I've witnessed this. I've witnessed people go through a service and be so miserable. I've witnessed people literally gripping the back of the seat, the pew, because they were just so under conviction. I've had experiences where people have literally stood up while I was preaching, just stood right up and walked right down to the altar and got saved. Conviction. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit. And so the ministry is only going to succeed. We're only going to be able to see people's lives changed and really born again because they are born of the Spirit. It is a function and a work of the Holy Spirit. They are convicted of their sins and they are born again of the Holy Spirit in their life. Amen. Whenever you receive the Holy Ghost, some of you testified similar to these thoughts here tonight. Then it becomes the chief influencer in your life. The Holy Ghost begins to influence you in all that you do. You're not your own anymore. You belong to the Lord. And you are filled with the Spirit. What? Know you not? This is the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians in verse 19 of chapter 6. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, then you resign from control and from all of the any other influences in your life, and you allow Him to come into your life. Amen. Him to take control of your life. And you're filled with the Spirit of God, and your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The part that talks about your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Greek word is the word naos, and it means holy of holies, the inner sanctum of the temple. That was the place where the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah of God would come down in a visible manifestation of God's Spirit in that holy place. That's what takes place in the life of a person that gets filled with the Holy Ghost, that there is this manifestation of the Spirit, and he comes and he takes charge. He takes control of your life. That's why it's personally my conviction that most unruly member, James says, the most unruly member of your physical body is your tongue. And so the Holy Spirit works on you, deals with you, convicts you, and then you are finally under complete yieldedness and under the control of the Spirit of God whenever your tongue, that most unruly member, finally gives it up and says, okay, amen, I belong to the Lord. And then you start speaking the praises of God. Amen. You begin to glorify God in another tongue. Amen. As that initial physical evidence that you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's the doctrinal terminology that we use as Pentecostals. It's the initial, meaning the first. The initial physical, meaning something that's actually taking place. Your body is being controlled by the Spirit. The initial physical evidence that you speak with other tongues. 5 places in the book of Acts, you'll see this confirmed. And so, you know, you may have other ideas about this. Certainly, when you get born again, then the Spirit of God begins to dwell in your life. You're yielded to the Lord. But then when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, there is what we call the fullness of the Spirit. Absolute and complete yieldedness to the Lord. Every part of your life yielded to God. And that's the reason why that God can work through a person that's filled with the Holy Ghost, because he has complete ownership of you, complete control. So the Holy Spirit becomes that influencer in our life. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. When a person gets intoxicated with wine or alcohol, liquor, any kind of intoxicating drink, they come under the influence of that. They are controlled by that. They say things that they probably wouldn't say otherwise. They do things that are pretty much out of control because they're under the control of that liquor. But the Scripture says we're not to be drunk with wine where it is in excess, but instead, we are to be filled with the Spirit, literally, completely, come under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There on the day of Pentecost, there's noise abroad what was going on. And some of the people said, what is going on here? Is this just the early morning hours? And they're already drinking? Are they drunk? Are they drunk? No, they're not drunk. They have been filled with the Spirit of God. There was something so different about those 120 that there was a manifestation in them that the people around were saying, what is going on with them? This is not like them. This is not their natural way of acting. And there's something supernatural, something different about them. Are they drunk? No. This is what the prophet Joel talked about. He prophesied that this was going to take place, and it was going to affect the son, your sons and your daughters and everyone. There was no one that was going to be exempt. No class, no sex. No one was going to be exempt from this wonderful manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are hopeless without the Holy Spirit. We are hopeless. I feel this. I feel this all the time. Trying to prepare for services. Trying to pray. Even our prayer life is just so weak without the Spirit. Amen. It's just so weak. I think probably the most effective thing we can do when we go to prayer is to try to press through and to pray to that place that you pray in the Spirit. You once again come under the control of the Spirit. Not that he's not in you, but let me tell you, there's all these things that are in the world around us that it is very easy for you to kind of lose that empowering of the Spirit in your life. and you need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. It is an absolute necessity. In the book of Acts, you see the necessity of it, especially in the fact that whenever there was a need, that it was the work of the Spirit of God that would begin to work to bring a solution. Acts chapter 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12, they called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, a lot of people would say, well, this is just a menial task. All they're doing is waiting on tables and taking care of widows. It was a ministry of service, and maybe it would be considered just a lowly, menial task to take care of the basic needs of these widows. But the qualification was, if you want to get this job done and do it right, then look out some men who have a good name, an honest report. They are filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Qualifications to serve tables in the New Testament church. Amen. Now that tells me that it doesn't matter how lowly or how unlikely you may think you are to be used of God. Whatever you're going to attempt to do, even the smallest of tasks that would be viewed as a small task or a menial task, the qualifications in the New Testament church were, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're going to wait on tables, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember Brother Joey Hyatt, someone said to him, "Do you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven?" His response was, if you know him, he's kind of wild. He said, "I don't even want to go to Walmart not filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to go anywhere without the Holy Ghost." And that pretty well answered the question that there is this wonderful blessing that's available to the church. And if we're going to succeed in these last days, which is a day and a time when there's all kinds of spiritual activity that's going on, you can see it. All the terrible, horrible crimes that are being committed. And it's almost daily that you hear or read about some horrible things, some terrible things that are going on in almost every area of life. You see all these terrible things. And when you see behind the scenes of what is actually happening, you see all this spiritual activity, all of this demonic activity. Satan is at work, and he's trying to destroy lives and destroy families and destroy in every possible way that he can. So we need to be aware of the fact of what time that we're living in right now, a time of high spiritual activity, as we know that Satan knows that his time is short, and so he's just unleashing every attack and every power and force against you, against me, and against people in this world because he wants to condemn men to hell. The only way that that can not happen is if the church is baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and we step forward and we realize that we're not going to be able to do the work. The ministry is going to fail unless we are filled with the Spirit. Paul spoke to Timothy, and he said, "Timothy, I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." What's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands." The phrase there literally means fan the flame. Timothy, don't let the fire go out. Fan the flame. Because he was called of God. He had a ministry to perform. He wasn't going to be able to do it. And he told him, he said, "Here's, if you don't do it, you're not going to succeed. Because what you're dealing with, Timothy, is you're backward, you're timid, you're fearful. And that's just your natural inclination. You're just that way." And so a person who's timid and fearful, and just naturally backward, You're not going to be able to fulfill your ministry. So fan the flame, stir up the gift of God in you, make sure that the work of the Holy Spirit is real and alive and burning brightly in your life. That's what he told Timothy. God did not give you that spirit of fear. The word literally means God didn't give you the spirit of timidity. God didn't give you that spirit. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a new boldness. There's a new power. There's a new ability. And God anoints that timid young man, Timothy, and sends him forth in the power of the Spirit of God. He didn't give you that spirit of timidity, but he gave you power. Amen. To face all the challenges, all of the dangers, all of the things that you're going to face. Timothy, you've got a call on your life. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to face the deceivers. You're not going to be able to face all of these things, even the persecutions that might come your way. Your natural temperament is, I want to back away from this. I'm going to go the other direction. So you're going to have to fan the flame. You're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've told you before about my own personal experience. For me, it was 1970 when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was very, very timid. If you would have told me back in those days that I would be in a pulpit preaching, I would have probably just fainted on the spot. When they would call me in a youth service up to just help take up the offering, I was so timid and backward. I couldn't even look up at the people as I received the offering. I just could not even face it. And even as in the years when I got out of Bible school, when Marsha and I were talking about getting married, and I told her, I'm called to preach, I'm called to pastor. And she said, you are? It was almost a deal breaker. You are? I think that she thought, she's got this guy that's just backward and timid and I don't have to worry about. She's raised up in a pastor's home, and she knew some of the challenges of that. And she was like, what? You? Are you sure? I was timid, and I needed the Holy Ghost. And I was 15 years old when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I laid on my back, flat on my back, and I really don't have full recollection of all this. But later on, they told me, you know that all of the time that you were laying on your back, you were pointing your fingers and raising your hands and speaking in tongues just like you were preaching. Probably just like I'm doing right now. Amen. Amen. The whole time as you laid on your back speaking in other tongues as a 15-year-old boy, I was preaching. It was the Holy Ghost. It wasn't me because I didn't have it. I just didn't have the timidity. I remember my dad would visit church every once in a while. He's unsaved. But when I was a young person, there was a group, a quartet group, two guys and two girls. And I didn't care to get back in the back and play the drums. I did that. I was fine with that because I could kind of be in the background. But I don't remember if the tenor singer, I don't know what happened to him, if he was sick or what happened, but they said, you're the one. It was the first time second time as a teenager that I had got up to sing in a service. And my dad was there. And he said later, when you got up with that group, I kind of sunk down in my seat because I've heard you in the shower. And I was so intimidated by that. So intimidated by it. And but let me tell you, the Holy Ghost can make a difference in your life. The Spirit of God can make a difference in your life. So if God has called you and you feel like you can't, if His hand is upon your life and He's talking to you about your life and your future and your the work that He wants you to do, you may feel like that you cannot, but you can. If God has called you, He will equip you. And the primary way that He'll do that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but instead He's given you power. Power to face whatever. And love. He's given you power. He's given you love to face whatever that you're going to face. And it's going to be this love of God and this love for souls that is going to motivate you to do what you do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. A mind that is prudent, a mind that is functions in discretion, is wise, careful, well-balanced, under the right kind of influences. That's the work of the Holy Spirit upon your mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to fail without the Holy Spirit, so we mustn't fail. We mustn't fail. Amen. All of you that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God for what happened to you in the 40s and 50s and 60s, for me in 1970, in a revival with a number of young people who were saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. That week, literally, it was just like such a shift in my life. It totally redirected me. Everything was different. It was right after that our pastor said, we're not going to camp this year. We're going to go. You've heard me tell the story about going on a missions trip. I didn't know what all was going on, but I was so deeply affected by that. When I saw people on the Navajo Indian Reservation out in New Mexico, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I believe it was the next summer when I went, and all these things were the work of the Spirit of God, all shaping me and burdening me for the things that He wants to accomplish. And He's not through. Amen. He's not through. Let's be obedient to the Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Brother Greg, that ought to really encourage you. Casey Carpenter got the Holy Ghost at London Christian Academy. Amen. Praise God. And I know that that's probably happened to others over the years. I've heard the different stories. God can sweep through this school. God can sweep through this school and fill students with the Holy Ghost. God can move in every one of our lives, and He'll take you in your weakness and your timidity and your natural temperament that says, I can't. There's no way that I can ever fulfill that call and that ministry. No, you cannot. By the Holy Ghost, you can. Hallelujah. 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 It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's why we need to be so careful that what we do, that we don't let the flesh get in the big middle of it. But it's a work of the Holy Spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. Words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Praise God. Quickening work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Joe Yates isn't here, and some of these others that you receive the Holy Ghost in their ministry. But really, what happens is there is the truth is just put out there, and you begin to develop a hunger for it, a desire for it. And that's my prayer. Lord, help us. Help us, everyone, to be filled, to be refilled. Let that experience be renewed in our lives here tonight around this altar. Let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to baptize the Holy Ghost. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, let the Lord is stirring up a hunger in your heart for His touch, His power in your life. I urge you to begin to seek after God with your whole heart. Come into this altar and ask the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. If you're not a Christian, if you don't know the Lord, you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, it is the work of the Holy Ghost that's knocking on your door. It's reminding you of the fact that you need God in your life. So let's pray together. Could we gather in here tonight? Let's call upon the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to fill the church, empower the church, anoint every one of us, and that our calling, our ministry, that it will succeed, that we will be able to do the will of God by His Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickens. It is the Spirit that...